Good morning. It's gone half past, so come on, you lot. Get in your seats. Order. Order. Yeah. Do grab. Yeah, so it's Cafe Church as normal, in the sense of the last 5 weeks we've been talking together, and this format worked well for that. So welcome this morning. All sorts of dates in the diary today that you may recognise and some of you guys may benefit from. It's Trinity Sunday. Did you know that? It's Trinity Sunday, where we worship Father, Son and Holy Spirit. But it's also Father's Day. Exactly. And we'll be celebrating God our Father in a moment. But let's start with some words on the screen. Would you stand with me as we come to worship? Just stand with me, and I'll say that you say the bits in white, okay? This is what David said. This is what he said about meeting with his Father. One thing I've asked of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. So who is it that you seek?
We seek the Lord, our God.
Do you seek him with all of your heart?
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
And do you seek him with all of your mind?
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
And do you seek him with all of your strength?
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
And will you seek him on Monday morning too?
We will, Lord, if you help us.
Because to whom else would we go? As Peter said, you have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and we have come to know that you, Jesus, are the Holy One of God. So let's worship him. Let's worship our Lord and our Father. Amen. Today is Father's Day. Let's pray together, shall we, as we gather. Father, we want to thank you that we can meet with you, our Heavenly Father, today. We want to thank you for all that that means. We want to thank you for the way that you build on and improve on all of our view of the word Father. Lord, we appreciate that for some folks here that word is a difficult word, but we thank you that you show us what it means to be a father, for the attention that you have shown us, for the care and the compassion that you have shown us, for the encouragement that you have given to us and the way you built us up by calling us your children, by loving us and being with us all of the time. We thank you. And we pray for dads who are here, fathers, granddads, surrogate dads, men who are mentors to others. And we pray, Lord, that today will be a special day for them as they realize and remember the role that they have given from you, as they recognize your model for their lives. Thank you for being our Father. Amen. Amen. And this morning, we always do a little bit for dads on Father's Day. So kids, I'm going to need your hand here. I'm going to need you to give out some little gifts. So can I have some small volunteers? Anybody who's smaller than Mark? Well, that's everybody. No, that's wrong. That's everybody, isn't it? Guys, come out the Wills. Wills kids, we need your help. Do you want to give me a hand? We just need to hand some things out. Come on out. And we've got some magazines here that we're going to give out. And I should have taken that cord off before I started, but there you go. So would you give us a hand? Would you give this to all the guys? Just give them out to all the guys in the chat. Come on out. Come on out. Come on, give us a hand. Give us a hand. Whee! So you got a round of applause, which is better. There you go. So start chucking that. Do you recognise him? From where? Oh, hello, you lot. Jacob, there you go. Chuck some of those out. So to all the guys and to any of the ladies here who have a gentleman at home who isn't here and they might want to take it as a gift. So you want to do that? So there you go. Off you go. Give those out. And it's got Chris Pratt on the front, who is, if you don't know, star of Jurassic Park and Jurassic World and all of that. And what else? Guardians of the Galaxy, one of my personal favourites, Jess. There you go. Hang on to that. Do you want to dish those out? So that's for all the dads. And while that's going on, there's a little video that remembers what dads say to us, the things that we're not so keen on, but also the things that we really appreciate. So off you go. That's it.
My dad used to always say to me, "Do you think I'm made of money?
Turn off the lights.
Do you think money grows on trees?
Turn the heat down.
If you're cold, put on a sweater.
You call that music?
Turn that down.
Turn it off.
We're not lost.
No, we're not there yet.
Don't make me stop this car.
I will turn this car around right now.
What part of no don't you understand?
I'm not just talking to hear my own voice.
I'll tell you why.
Because I said so, that's why.
Call that a haircut?
What keeps those jeans from falling off?
Tuck in your shirt.
Wipe your feet.
Get your elbows off the table.
The early bird gets the worm.
You want something to do?
I'll give you something to do.
When I grew up, I had a job on a farm at 13.
Oh, as long as you live under my roof.
Stop crying, or I'll give you something to cry about.
I brought you into this world.
I can take you out of it.
How's the job search going? Don't touch my car.
My first car only had 3 wheels.
What is this, a pigsty?
Go make your bet.
I walked 10 miles to school.
Through 10 feet of snow.
Uphills both ways.
In my day,
when I was your age,
I had 3 jobs.
This is gonna hurt me a lot more than it's gonna hurt you.
Do you need anything?
Are you sure you don't need anything?
You can be whatever it is you wanna be.
As long as you tried your hardest.
That's what really matters.
You'll get it next time.
You did your best.
That's my boy.
That's my girl.
I'm proud of you.
Real proud of you, son.
I'm so proud of you.
You'll always be my little girl.
Thanks, Dad.
Thank you, Dad.
Thank you so much.
I love you, Daddy.
I love you, Dad.
Daddy, I love you.
I love you, Dad.
There you go. The things that dads say, oh, well done, thank you very much. Is that all right? Everybody got one? Lovely. Thank you guys for your help. That's great. We've got some spares there, so if you've got someone at home on Father's Day that you want to be, just bless and give them a little something to say you're thinking about them, take one of those away. There's a few more in the box down here. Cool. And one of the things about Father's Day is that you are going to be, I suspect, anybody going out for lunch? Anybody going out for lunch? None of you.
Going to work.
Going to work. It's not fair, is it? I know the feeling. But there you go. Yeah. I know the feeling. Yeah. But what will be? You're going out for lunch. Well, Ali's. Yeah, Ali's got it sus. There you go. You have to get in early on Father's Day and book up early, don't you? But one of the things people will be doing today with their fathers is they'll be gathering round a table and they'll be sharing food and drink with their fathers. And guess what? Isn't it appropriate? Today, it's the third Sunday of the month, and on the third Sunday we always celebrate communion. What are you doing at communion? You are gathering round a table with food and with drink, and you are meeting with your father. And what's wonderful is that it's not the sons and daughters that are booking this. It's your Heavenly Father that says, I want to meet with you. It's your Heavenly Father says, I want to meet with you. And as often as you can, meet with me around a table, a meal table, and share some time with me. And that's what our Heavenly Father says to us every day. Every week, every month, that we would spend some time with him. In your devotional life, it's the same thing. You're just setting aside time to be with your father. Isn't that wonderful? And he loves that. What father wouldn't love that? That his children want to be with him. So we're going to share bread and wine, and we're going to do it a little bit different, as a bit like we did last time. The kids are going to stay in. The bread and wine is on your table, so we're going to encourage you to share communion together, to share bread and wine together, recognizing that your Heavenly Father is with you. Children, parents, if you want your children to be part of it but are not sure whether they understand what they're doing yet, then there are some grapes out there. Grab hold of a few grapes so that your children can be part of communion without necessarily taking part if they don't, if you're not comfortable with that. But if you are comfortable with that, if you know that they know who Jesus is and they love him at the age that they're at, if they love him, that's enough. And encourage them to be part of that too. Okay? So that's what we're doing this morning. Let me read a little invitation to you. And during communion, we're going to be playing some music. And feel free to share communion and then just join in with the music, or drop out and share communion and then join back in. Just go with the flow and the music will be going. You'll be sharing, sing or share depending on where you're at in the service. Come everyone who wants to, says Jesus. Come if you can recite the creeds, and come if you can't remember the words to Jesus loves me. Come if you've been in church since birth, and come if you've lost your way a few times, but you've found your way here today. Come if you like to study theology, or if you like to finger paint. Come if you like tradition and ritual and ceremony. And come if you like balloons and laughter and trampolines. Come if you like all these things, and find the wonder of heaven in all of them. Come as you are, old and young, just as you are, one family right now. Each of you, every one of you, and have a seat today with your Heavenly Father. And it looks like bread, and it is bread, but there's a surprise in this bread For within each crumb, God has folded nothing less than his love. And when we break it and everyone has a piece, what we'll be saying to each other is this: let's share again the story of Jesus. And it looks like a goblet of wine on your tables, and it is wine, but God, being God, didn't leave it there. And into every drop, he has squeezed a promise for you and for the whole world. And when we pass it among us and everyone has a taste, it sort of whispers to our souls. It sort of tangles with our memories, telling us God loves us. God loves us. God loves us and wants to be with us today and every day. So let's break the bread and let's listen to the story. Let's share the wine and let's remember the promise. And we're going to sing, we're going to start singing. Feel free to sing a song and then share, or just share and then join in when you're ready. Feel free to be free this morning to share with each other and with the Lord. Okay.
Thank you.
So, Father, we thank you. Thank you for feeding us. Thank you for inviting us to your dinner table. Thank you that you do it not just once a year, but you do it every day. You invite us to sit with you and be with you. Thank you for being our good, good Father who wants to be with his children. We love you and we worship you. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Just before the kids go out to groups, let's remind you what's going on this week. We have so Cafe Church this morning. Feel free to move around. I know it also feels awkward, doesn't it, moving around? But you can stand up and you can head out there and come back in and get... Oh, there you go. You see, everybody's off. Shouldn't have said that. Everybody's off. Catching the bus. So feel free to move around. It's a different sort of service where you can have a conversation and where we can talk with each other and a bit less formal. So feel free to do that. If you missed any of the series, it's online. Pick that up on the website. Don't forget we got a movie night this Friday. That's United Kingdom. Brilliant story, true story. So that's this Friday, 7:30. Film starts at 8. Invite your friends. That would be really good. Don't forget, we also have a church meeting in 2 weeks' time. That's two Sundays' time. And because we're doing a new format, we're going to have it about now on a Sunday morning. And we're going to be gathering and talking and sharing on Sunday so most people can get here rather than just do it on an evening where you can't make it. And it will be different. It will not be the sort of church meeting you have been used to as you've gone to. We will have more worship, more prayer, more discussion. It will be a lot more interactive than previously. So we hope you'll be here and be part of that. And don't forget, we're on this little season at the moment where we're talking about how we can reach the UK. And this week, we're talking about Let My People Go, which was a little statement by Moses, I think, wasn't it? Let my people go. There you go. So we're talking about that. Don't forget also, a bunch of guys are away next weekend at the gathering. I hope you pray for them. And they'll be over in a field near Swindon for the weekend with CVM, Christian Vision for Men. So there'll be about 2,500 guys there. Just pray God speaks to so many folks who will be going who don't know Jesus and probably will know him by the end of the weekend. And that's what happens every year there. So really encouraging. Ivan's got a quick something he wants to mention.
Hi, folks. Just to remind you of that there are quite a few of these good news papers at the back. Please avail yourself of them. I give one to all my neighbours. None of them has come back to me yet to say, please don't leave this on my doorstep. So I trusted they're reading them. The worst they can do is just throw them in the bin. But why don't you give these to your neighbours or to your friends or to the delivery guy? I've got a delivery guy and I've got to know him. Richard, I said, Richard, every time he comes, I said, here's something for you to read, and he accepts it. Remember just one very important thing. In Isaiah 55, God said, my word will not return to me empty. This is his word. Please make use of it. Okay?
Amen.
Thank you. They're at the back.
Great. Thank you, Ivan. And there was another notice, fate. It was the fate, not fate as in your destiny, but might be. Yeah, there's a disturbing thing. There you go. Okay.
So this is the sheet. There's another one underneath. I'm going to leave it on this table.
Okay.
At the end of the service. We have got lots of spaces to be filled. So please come and be here from now until they're filled.
Fantastic. Yeah, thank you, folks. We do need a little team every year. Break up, break down, set up, be there, serve people. And if you're able to give an hour of your day, 1 hour of your day, we'd really value it. And Adrienne can put you in an appropriate slot to help out. That would be fantastic. Do come along to that. That'd be great. I can't think of anything else. Anything I've missed? Good, that's good. Excellent. Oh, yeah, that. Yeah, Life Group Resource, just following up on what we're doing in Sunday mornings. And if you want to do that, I'd encourage you to try and do it with your group. If you run a group, sometime between now and September would be fantastic, because we have joined a learning hub with seven other Baptist churches. We'll be meeting throughout the year on Saturday mornings with those churches, with leaders, with worship teams. We're going to get our worship team together with other worship teams around our area. We're going to be learning together, sharing how we do this whole life discipleship thing. It's an important thing. So this is all about that. And you can get ahead of the game and learn what it all means. So do it in your life groups. Talk about it. Pray about it. And encourage each other to be whole life disciples. That would be really good. Okay, kids are going to head out right now. We're going to take an offering. You can stick that DVD on, Anthony, the table. Put that on while folks are going out. That'd be great. But feel free to move around for a moment. And as our kids head out, then we'll start talking about the subject this morning.
I will feast at the table of the Lord. I will feast at the table of the Lord. I won't hunger anymore at His table. I will feast at the table of the Lord. I will feast at the table of the Lord. I won't hunger anymore at His table. Come all you weary, come and find. His yoke is easy, His burden light. He is able, He will restore.
Okay, let's pray for a moment, and let me remind you, could you be praying for Pat and Malcolm at this point? Pat is, her health is, as you know, she's been fighting off or putting into remission the cancer, the secondary cancer she's had, but it looks as though she's coming to the end of that journey, and we just need to pray for her and for Malcolm in this difficult time. Okay, so Pat's heading to the hospice today. Yeah. Let's pray now. Do you want to pray, Debbie? Do you want to pray on our behalf? Go ahead. Come up here and use this one.
There you go. Dear Lord, today we offer you our brother and sister Pat and Malcolm. At this very difficult time in their stage of their life together. Vanessa, I hope, is alongside them today as he sees Pat leave the house for the last time, and that's pretty tough. That's very tough to go through, and I know that he will take a lot of peace from you, Lord, and I hope you can be with him at this time of pain and sorrow, as he has to accept that he soon will be on his own. And please be with Pat. Help her on this final journey to you, Lord, to a better place, to your glorious kingdom, Lord, where there will be no more pain, no more breathlessness, where she will feel your love, feel your light on her, and be in a much better, peaceful, loving place, Lord. So be with us all as well as we take away with us our baggage today. We all have things that we're worried about, concerned about, and maybe not sharing those things that we need to share. So please be with us all, Lord, today, forevermore. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So continue to pray and encourage Pat and Malcolm. And if you know them personally, obviously you'll be involved in supporting them both. We're going to carry on thinking about what it means to be a disciple. And a disciple in the whole of your life, not just on your Sundays. And let me read to you something from the early church. And this is how they did it. It's a great little passage because it tells you how the early church encouraged each other in their walk as disciples. This is Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper. There you go, 2,000 years later in Godston, you're doing exactly that, sharing meal and sharing the Lord's Supper. And to prayer. That's good, we've done a bit of that as well. A deep sense of awe came over all of them as the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. We haven't done much of that this morning, have we? And maybe God wants to do something today. And all the believers met together in one place and they shared everything that they had. This is a scary verse. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those who had need. That was how close they were. They worshipped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper and they shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. That's how they reached their country in their day. And it's interesting that it sounds actually quite simple, doesn't it? Quite simple. So we're going to think about your front line and how you reach out to those folks that you care about and love and work with and share life with. And Adrienne's just going to come and get you thinking about that. So where are you, Adrienne? There she is. She's over there. Just going to get you thinking about your front line. Can we take that?
Okay, so everybody needs...
Yeah. No worries.
Should I just speak into you?
Right. Use that one. You might need a space on your tables.
Yes, you will need a space on your tables this morning. Okay, so whilst Phil's giving those things out, I just thought I'd sort of introduce my little bit here this morning. Over the last few weeks, we've been asked to think about becoming whole life disciples. And it's quite a challenging thing to be asked, actually. And the more I thought about it, the more I thought, well, we really do need to take ownership of this. And by that I mean it's not just words, it's not just here and now. It is actually everything. But we can't do it on our own. Obviously, we need God in our lives, but we also need each other. And so this morning, I hope you're going to have a chance to encourage each other and maybe suggest things that might help in your journey with Christ and for Christ. And I've just written down a few notes here, which I'm going to just briefly go through. So one of the things on the Imagine literature that is being asked is or said is, imagine if we all ask Jesus one question. Lord, how can I make a difference for you today? I mean, if we really all did pray that prayer, Lord, how can I make a difference for you today? I wonder what sort of an answer we would come up with. Do we really think about the fact that we can make a difference in our communities, in our families, whatever it happens to be? And so some of the things that happen are that we know what our front lines are. You've been asked, what is your front line? Where are you in the week? Where are you in terms of the people you come into contact with? Now, my situation over the last few years has changed dramatically, but those of you still in work clearly have. It's almost like, you know, an audience, a captive audience. They can't get away from you. The people I come into contact with are much more fluid. They're much more likely to slip through my fingers or not be affected by anything I might think or say or do. But even there, we can all do something. We can all make a difference. But it's a dangerous question to ask, because actually God works through us in all sorts of strange ways. And sometimes we might say, as we were saying in our home group the other day, sorry, life group the other day, you know, we are sometimes in the wrong place. We feel we are in the wrong place. God, why have you given me this job? It's boring. It's nothing. I'm getting nowhere. And then after a while, you realize, actually, that's exactly where you should be, because that's exactly the sort of fertile ground that you can actually be make a difference in and be a different sort of person through. So you might have had a serious accident, or you might be sick, or you might have to rely on others for any number of different things. But that's what we have to do sometimes to do God's work. We have to actually become humble and become completely dependent on him in order to see a way forwards. But again, we need each other. Disciples, whole life disciples, grow in whole life disciple communities, which is another quote from this LICC literature. And that's so true, I think. But something that really challenged me was that the church, the UK church in this country at this time, and probably for years before, has had a convert and retain policy. If you think about that, convert and retain, that's not really very good. That's not what we're here for. And Jesus had a disciple and release policy, which is really what we should be doing. We should be spreading out, releasing our potential, and then growing other disciples, because people will see how we are different, perhaps, and how we can influence, and how they will want some of that. I don't know if anybody's ever said anything like that to you, but years ago, that was said to me, and it was just a very strange place and situation. But obviously something about the way I was behaving with my family just stood me out from other people and the way they might have behaved in a situation that might have been stressful or difficult. So what I'm going to ask you to do in a moment is to take a piece of paper from your table, and if you can share some coloured pens or pencils, whatever you have, crayons I think you've got, and do something. I've just given you an example. I'm a great believer in spidergrams. I used to use spidergrams in teaching quite a lot. Mind maps, whatever you like to call them. So one way of doing it is to put your paper landscape rather than portrait, and then you've got a little bit more room. And in the middle, write down your front lines, and maybe what is stopping you being an effective Christian at those front lines. And then have a discussion. If you have some ideas, that would be great. But have a discussion with the people on your table, and maybe further into your life groups in the weeks to come, and see how you can have support. When we have these things happen in our lives, we have to change and we have to be accountable. So somebody has to be able to see, actually, yes, you are making a difference, because it encourages you, but it also encourages them, because they can see that you are making a difference. And, you know, it's like the stone in the pond idea, the ripple effect. Hopefully, that's in a good scenario. So you might not be able to read what I've written on here, but just to give you an idea of what I'm talking about, I'm just going to flip the chart over, and then I'll have to shout because I haven't got it. So, if this was my spider in the pond, it would have more legs, but I haven't got a landscape thing, and so I've just done my front lines, my problem areas, and my solutions. Now, I'm not saying that's a magic answer, and I'm not saying you're going to come up with a magic answer. So this is my neighbours, which, I have neighbours all around me who are all sorts of different people. Some of them are also retired, some of them are still working, some of them are young parents, all sorts of different people. But when we moved into our house 3 years ago, the majority of those people did not know each other, even though they had lived there for years on the same road. They didn't know each other at all. And so I just felt I wanted to do something about finding out who I was living with, so I got people together. But it's difficult, because you don't want to be different. You don't want to go in and sort of start stirring. But at the same time, you are different if they're not Christians themselves. There is a difference in the way that you you go about your lives, I suppose. So the problem area is not wanting to be different. And being afraid, it's one of the barriers. This is what's stopping us becoming, becoming converts and retainers. We've got to break through those barriers somehow. And we are afraid to do that sometimes. Now, I'm not saying everybody is, and everybody's got different ways of dealing with situations. But that is one of the things we come up, I don't want to because I'm going to upset them, or I know they don't believe, so they're going to think I'm weird, or whatever it might be. That is something we have got to find a way through. It's not a case of bull in a china shop going through, but somehow we've got to break through those barriers. On a practical level, and this is where your ownership of this comes in, I think. Yeah. You need to own this for yourself. Find a practical way of breaking that not wanting to be different label or fear. And so, this is where I decided, I'm just going to put some notes into the houses around, and I'm going to get people together and talk to them. And communication is one of the best ways of breaking down prejudice. If you can communicate with people, you can understand them, and they can understand you. And over time, they will gradually begin to understand more and more of you. And that, I think, is one of the biggest things that the world needs. We need, our attitude needs to be out there. And so breaking down the barriers somehow has got to be the way forwards. But we need also to have the support of other Christians around us. And we need each other to do this. So what I would ask you to do is something similar to that. I've done it in different colours. Even if you can't read it, that's the sort of format I had in mind. And I hope they will be useful pieces of paper for you to, stick on a fridge or on a notice board or in your office or somewhere, where you can just take a note of them every now and then and remind yourselves of ways that you could be more effective. I'm sure most of us who are Christians and have been Christians for years feel that we're already living a Christian life. But I guarantee if we really analyse it, we could do that much better. We could make a difference without standing there with a Bible or giving out tracts. We don't need to do that. We just need to be ourselves. But we need to be more effective. in a practical way. So, over to you. I'm going to come around and ask you in a minute if you can share some of those things.
Thanks, Andrea. So map your front line. Who do you see regularly? Start there. Who do I have contact with regularly? Who do I have relationships with? Map all those different people. And then what are the barriers? What's getting in the way with me helping them to see what a disciple is or to meet Jesus or to understand more about him? Off you go. And feel free to talk about it amongst your groups as you map it out. Yeah, it's good. Good, good, good. Yeah, no, it's great. They might be able to help us, help each other with that one.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing where if you look at all your front lines,
yeah,
it is fear stepping out.
It's often what stops us. It's that insecurity and fear or being rejected or sidelined.
Or saying the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Really, one of the things I was looking at was my family. Now, two children who are Christians, and one who is. He's been hurt in church in years, and he has never let that go.
Yeah.
And he's married into a church. Averse.
Okay.
And at Christmas, it was very interesting because his mother said to me, I spoke to your father Sunday, you're not in church today, because your God was supposed to have been born by some virgin. And I went, I just left it at that. Afterwards, she came to college and asked me.
Yes.
But he actually said, I'm really sorry, I could see that image. I said, well, I was quite surprised. But, you know, you have your opinions.
Yeah, and that's it. So I don't want to attack people because they don't believe. Yeah, is that
right?
I'd hope people wouldn't attack me for what I do believe.
You have to say, why did you bother getting married in church?
Because, well, that's the thing you do, isn't it? Yeah, if you want the big day, that's what you do. Yeah.
It was a huge effort because there was only one Swedish church, and that was in
Murray. Oh, right, really?
The reception was in Kent, Bjorgårdstrand.
Oh, okay.
That's not close by.
No.
So, first of all, we've got to get to London, we've got to get to Kent.
Oh, grief. Yeah.
The whole thing could have been so much simpler if they'd just got married in Bjorgårdstrand.
Yeah, in some way. Yeah. There are lots of venues around, wing. Yeah. It's bizarre, isn't it? Yeah. Very odd. Very odd.
So I hope we didn't step on toes.
No, it's fine. No, it's good.
So I'll just go ask people to come up and see something.
Yeah, well, do you want this?
No, don't worry. It's
not. Just wander around with it. Hopefully one of the reactions will be I've realised how many people I actually have any contact with. That's one of the key things people realise.
Okay. Is this working?
Can you
Can you hear me out there? Nobody's. Oh, hang on. Okay. I've been told to call you to order. Sounds a bit grand, doesn't it? So I'm just going to wander around and just see if anybody on your table has got anything that they would like to share. Shall I start with... Ah! Share.
Yes. So we were just talking in our little group here, and one of the issues, time is a barrier, and maybe to find a solution is to set aside some time or book a time. I'm thinking with my neighbors, I often say, hi, how are you? We're passing in the passageway, walking in the garden to our cars. We all. So to say, well, maybe, you know, come and have a cup of tea. Be a bit more intentional. That's my idea.
Yes, well, that's exactly what I did when we moved house. You know, I said to people, just drop in, just have a cup of tea. And people were going, oh, what number do you live at? And I was thinking, how long have you lived here? You know, and it's ridiculous, really. But yes, people just don't make the time, you're right. Yes, time is a big factor. Anybody else on this table? Should I move on? I'll move on. Anyone over here? Would you like to put your hands up if you've got something you could share? That would be good. I'll go here and then I'll come to you.
I'd just like to echo what's been said about the neighbour situation. I have the neighbours over for tea and coffee sometimes, and we go out on outings. Oh. And that's worked out quite well.
Yeah. Outings? Gosh, that's really good. Actually, when we moved in, we've heard that there were some people who had been there for years and years and years, as I say. And in the old days, when they all had young children, they used to go on holiday together. The whole street used to go on holiday together. Which is, you know, makes a time to talk, I suppose. That's lovely. Well done. Okay. Oh, I'm so sorry.
They're all saying the same as me, but they won't say it.
Well, you say it.
Yeah. Well, we live within reach of Bell Meadow. I'm in Bell Meadow. And we see the same things. When I first came to Gosford, I was a Christian. And I had dogs, walked around. One of the first people I met was Laura with her dog. And she smiled at me and we chatted. Yes, she can. And then there's Jill there, you know, where she lives. Her lovely husband used to be there, although his health wasn't good. I'd walk through there with my dog, stop and talk to him, he'd tell me all about what he was doing at the church here and that. It's the witness of speaking to people you meet along the way. Smile at them. Don't walk past them because they're old or because they've got a better car than you or any of this old nonsense. Bell Meadow is small, and every household, you look at that, and today they're dealing with the most awful things, which they don't all share. And I chat sometimes, particularly those with problems with their children. And I said something, and one said, he said, yes, but Monica, you are different to the others. I thought, thank you, Lord. If you can be that little bit different. And I don't keep talking all the time like I do here, because I live on my own. I do. And I have a lot of time on my own for thinking. And when you get back, you get to the family, you know, my son will say, he said, Mum, you always know what to say. That's an absolute compliment for him, because men don't really like praising women too much. Well, bless him. But these don't think the same.
Yeah, I think listening is a really key skill. Just listening, smiling at people, just showing them that you have acknowledged them along the street. There's a gentleman who comes through Godston sometimes, and he wears a hat, and he always touches the rim of his hat or the peak of his cap or whatever he's wearing. And that's such an old-fashioned thing to do, but it's so lovely. It's such a polite just way. And he does it to whoever he meets. It's not just me because I'm female. I've watched him, and he does that wherever, you know, and it's just a way of breaking a barrier, isn't it?
The good neighbour thing again. We're retired. Oh, don't do that. I'm sure you can hear me.
Okay.
Can you hear Linda?
We're retired, so we take in parcels for all and sundry.
Yeah.
We walk dogs and feed cats when people are away. That kind of thing. You know, it's just being a good neighbour.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Oh.
I've been chatting to Freddie, and he is he works 4 days a week at the Woodhouse Centre, the Red Cross. And it's quite interesting. He says they do different projects there, and they make poppies and so forth. But of late, he's been doing a rugs. He's actually sold 3 rugs he's made, and he's pretty much, well, 3 sold. He's working on his 4th one. And he mentions that, and I said to him, you know, quite clearly he shares his faith, and, you know, he's got his cross on there. And he said that they, you know, at the centre, they know that he's a Christian, and he feels that prayer is really important. And the interesting thing is, the first thing he said is that, you know, it's, he's been praying for Pat a lot, and obviously she's going through a difficult time. And it's been really interesting, you know, just having this chat and see how he shares his faith with the people he, you know, effectively works with and helps out.
Yes, that's lovely. Well done, Freddie. Yes, lovely.
It's interesting, Jesus says, love your neighbour, doesn't he? And you've been talking a lot about being neighbours and good neighbours and all that. And it is, it's that simple, but it's that costly as well, isn't it? Because it costs you time and it costs you energy and it can be challenging, Belinda. Oh,
The lady that lived next door to Bothell. And how something as simple as that.
Yeah.
But again, it's intentional, it has to be intentional.
Yeah.
And I think time can often be a slight potluck, but I know we are busy, we're going to focus on our families before, you know, other people, but if you build the relationships, the rest will follow you. Those openings in the conversation will happen, that you can go to that deeper level to share.
That's right. Yeah, and it does. Yeah, it can be very simple things, but it's about somehow, small things that communicate love and care and attention. That's the key thing, isn't it? Like cupcakes, knocking on the door of the brothel next door and delivering cupcakes. Those people behind those doors didn't expect that response. They really didn't expect that response from a, you know, an old lady who lived next door, but that just changed their whole attitude to who is this woman and why does she love us like this. So it's simple things. Anybody read the book Love Languages? Have you ever read that? Love Languages is a great book for husbands, fathers, mothers, wives, whoever you are, brothers or sisters. It tells you the different ways that people experience or understand that they're loved. And there are about 5 of them. One of them is acts of service. When you serve someone, they feel really loved. For other people, it's not service that communicates to them. It's words. And when someone says, I love you, I care about you, and words help some people, but not other people. What are some of the others? Can anybody remember them? What are the other ones? Physical, yeah. Yeah, so touch, hugs. Stuff like, I've got to be careful with this one. But physical for some people, and particularly in marriage, that is such an important thing, isn't it? And for kids and for families, you know, that is a way that we can communicate very effectively, the way we hug each other and care about each other in that way. So, yes, some it's physical. What was gifts was one. It was gifts. Are you gifts? Are you gifts? Is this a hint, Anne? David, gifts. Yeah. Yeah, and some people do. Just a little gift will communicate to them that they are cared for and loved. It's a great, look it up on the internet. There are 5 love languages. What are the people that you connect with? You will probably already have a hint. How do they understand that you love them? And you may think they understand when I do this, but it might not be true. They may need one of the other languages speaking to them. And you might have to adapt your natural language, because we all have the way we understand that we're loved. We have a way of operating. You may have to switch to a different one so that they understand it. And you might want to do it in the name of Jesus. So it's great. So, yeah.
Something I was going to say also is thinking about gifts in particular. The more you give of your time or whatever it might be, the more you get back as well. So it's on a selfish level, you're going to feel better yourself by helping other people to feel better as well, you know, whatever situation it might be.
That's right. Yeah, the best bit, that's great. The best bit of advice I ever had was, if you want to have friends, you're going to have to be one. And that takes time and effort and commitment. And as Adrienne said, giving of yourself. You have to start there, and you will find that you will have a lot of friends if you do that. But if you don't give of yourself, if you're not a friend to others, how are you ever going to have friends yourself? It's a good point. Give, says Jesus, and you will receive. Yeah. It's what Jesus says. It's how it works. Give and you will receive. Okay, let me take you through a few things. We've been talking about the UK in a state that it's a real opportunity, not a threat. You know, oh, the world's in a terrible shape, and it quite frankly is, and we've got some... Well, yeah, let's not talk about the news this week, but... But there's all sorts of things going on and things that might happen in the future. And they are, but actually, it's a massive opportunity because the world recognises it's a bit of a mess. Who has some answers to peace and to belonging and to identity and to self-esteem? Who has that answer? I believe Jesus Christ does. And he has given all of those things to us, and the world is crying out for them. Great divide, we talked about sacred secular, about dividing our lives into what we do with God and for God and at church and then separating it off from the rest of our lives and not realizing we are the church wherever we are. And we need to stop that sacred secular divide. And we're talking this last week about the great resource, that you are the people. That according to the stats, about 4.5 million people go to church at least once a month. These 4.5 million people have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's 4.5 million people who are in touch with about 90% of the population of the UK. So why aren't we getting the word across? Yeah. So that's what we're talking about. Here we're talking about let my people go, and I'll rattle through this just to give you some ideas. Adrienne's already mentioned it. We have a convert and retain. Jesus had a train and release. He viewed it very differently. If you don't believe me, look at what he said. Therefore, go and make converts. No. Therefore, go and make disciples. People who will choose me, follow me, dedicate their lives to being like me and walking with me. Make those sort of people, not converts, not people who say a prayer and then occasionally attend church. Make disciples, people who are serious about me, about Jesus. And that's what we need to do, make disciples. And it also says in the scripture, be prepared. And this is where the training thing, train and release. So are we doing this? Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. I know that verse because that was given to me on the day I was baptized at 14 years old. I was about 15 years old. I was baptized, and that verse was said over me. Be prepared to give an answer. Now, the problem is we think that means doing what I've done, going to college, learning how to preach, learning apologetics, learning how to argue for the gospel. But I don't think it is about that. It's about being a witness. Jesus said, you're going to be witnesses. You're not going to be pastors. You're not professional clergy. In fact, you won't find the word professional clergy in the Bible. You will just find the word disciple. Disciple, disciple. You won't find the word converts. You just find disciple. And Jesus says, as a disciple, one of the roles that you have is to witness to people around your world. And here's the problem. We think witnessing involves all the sort of stuff that the pastor does. So is it preaching? Is witnessing preaching? It isn't. It isn't preaching. We're one of the very few organisations that has someone stood at the front talking for half an hour and the rest to you lot while you passively sit there. There are very few organisations that do that anymore. The church is still one place where preaching happens. I don't want to denigrate preaching because preaching is special. Preaching is empowered by, I believe, the Holy Spirit, and therefore it knocks other categories out. But we recognise that sometimes we need to do things differently. It's not about preaching. It's not about debating, actually. It's definitely not about winning an argument. Gentlemen, how many of you have won an argument with your wife and she has said to you afterwards, "Oh, I feel much closer to you now, dear"? No. He's on the phone. Gotta go, love. Gotta go. Hole in one. Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, you don't win people by winning arguments, actually. You don't. You may knock the arguments into a cocked hat. You might just nail it, and they're going, and feel absolutely beaten up. But it's not going to do it, is it? You don't. If you feel like you're losing, you're not going to feel closer to Jesus. You're going to feel further away. So winning an argument may not be the best way of doing it. And I know some people love a good debate, but it's not about that. That's not what being a witness is. A prepared talk. Some of us get nervous about witnessing, so we think we have to have a set. All right, I'll think A, B, C. You know, you've got a little bullet point in your head about, oh, I need to mention this, I need to mention the cross, I need to mention sanctification, I need to mention... it's not how it works. It's not how it works. For instance, you don't have a prepared talk for some of the things you deal with in life, do you? Who's got a hobby? Who's got a hobby? Hobby. I know Derek's hobby. Well, I don't know Mark's hobby. Any other hobbies? I need a hobby that I don't know. Go on then, Anne. What's your hobby? Chickens. Chickens. Excellent. That's your hobby. Chickens. Now, do you prepare a talk when you want to talk about chickens? No. If you're talking to someone about your hobby, chickens, do you have a prepared structure in your head about, I need to mention this, that, and the other? It's just natural, isn't it? Oh, right. When you start on about chickens, they go, right, I'll see you later, Anne. I've got someone to see. Yeah, but you don't do that, do you? If we don't do that with things that matter to us, that we enjoy in life, if we don't prepare talks about it, why do you need to prepare a talk about Jesus? If you enjoy him and he's a part of your life, why don't you just talk about that like you would chickens or train sets or
collecting a phone with letters, wartime letters.
Ooh. Or collect, you see, you guys, I bet, can womble on for hours about that. And you've not got a script in your head. Jesus is a part of your life. And he's a part that I hope you enjoy and love and brings you great sense of fun and enjoyment in your life. And I think, you know, talk to him about that. Don't prepare talk. Handing out a tract. Well, there are times when it's helpful to give someone something so they can look into it a bit more. But generally speaking, the early church, which grew from 25,000 to, I can't remember how many it was. Was it about 6 or 7 million or something in 200 years, didn't have many tracts. Don't think they had any. They didn't even have the Bible in the form that you've got it, in a collected form like that. They didn't have it out. A technique. We'd love a technique that works every time. There isn't one. There isn't one. Because people are different. What is witnessing? It's simple. Telling someone about what you have seen or experienced, that is a witness. That's it. What have you seen about Jesus? What have you experienced about Jesus? And that's it. Tell them. Tell people, because he's a part of your life in the same way other things that you love and enjoy are part of your life. And just be a witness. That's all it is. Telling someone what you have seen, what you have experienced. The gospel has spread through purposeful relationships throughout history. Purposeful relationships. Relationships that are not just for my benefit, but actually for the benefit of somebody else. Are you thinking about your relationships like that? They're not just for my sake. I'm in this relationship for this person because God loves them and I love them, and I'm thinking about them as much as I'm thinking about me. Purposeful relationships, and they're underpinned by prayer. You know, in the book of Acts, the disciples praise at least seven. These are the disciples. They spent 3 years with Jesus. They've seen amazing things. They're still praying, God, give us boldness in sharing your word. They had to pray about it, and they were the guys we thought were the experts. And they said, please give me boldness. Are you praying that prayer? They prayed it. The apostle Peter was praying, give me boldness, God, because I lack it. And if he prayed it, you can pray it. Underpinned by prayer, empowered by the Holy Spirit, it's not just about you. God is working in other people's lives right now, and you don't know what he's doing. You don't know what you might say that will just connect with what is happening for them. And only the Holy Spirit can do that. You can't. So he's going to help you. And validated, this is important, validated by the evidence of changed life. Your life, your discipleship, how you live and follow Jesus will be part of the evidence for the things that you say and the way that you treat people. So live that disciple life and it will back up everything you say and everything you're trying to do. Without that, it may torpedo everything you say and everything you do. The goal of the church is not to build a church. Oh, what? Hang on, I thought it was. No, who says they're going to build a church? Who said, I will build the church? Jesus. It's not your job. Isn't that great? Whew, thank goodness for that. It's not your... Jesus says, I will build my church. And we celebrate Pentecost last week. The goal of the church, says Jesus, is and I want you to make disciples. I'll build a church. You make disciples. It's really important to know the difference. Really important. Here's some disciple-making questions for you as we close. Is our church making disciples? Are we train and release? I don't think we're doing too good at that. Are we train and release? I would say we've got a lot of work to do on that. That's why we're engaging on a 2-year process to address this issue. Or are we convert and retain? We're not even converting and retaining very well. So we want to train and release. Are you closer to Christ than you were a year ago? That's a disciple-making question. Are you closer to him this year than you were last year? How's your discipleship? How's your relationship with Jesus? Starts there, doesn't it? That's evidence to people who you will be talking to. And have you learned something this year about what it means to live as a follower of Christ in today's world? Have you learned something that helps you? And that's the challenge for us as a church. Are we going to be able to train you and release you? Are we doing that well enough? And if we're not, we need to talk about that. And you need to tell us. And you need to tell us what you need. How can we help each other? And how can this church help you? That's what we're going to be talking about. And that's what we need to discuss. Convert and retain or train and release. The early church did the second. They made disciples. And those disciples made disciples. And they made disciples. And they made disciples. And it just exploded. And the church grew. It didn't grow particularly through big event preaching. There were some of that. But most of the people who came to faith were through purposeful relationships with believers in small groups, in homes. And occasionally Peter would preach publicly, and occasionally Paul would stand on Athens Mars Hill and proclaim the gospel. But most of the people, of the millions and millions who came to faith, heard it through ordinary believers who simply witnessed to who Jesus was, to them. And that's it. Everybody, Everybody who is a believer is a full-time Christian worker, because you are the church wherever you are. And when you're out there, you are probably far more effective than professional clergy who often are in here. You are far more effective. So the question was all about imagine. Imagine how we might reach the UK. Our time has gone, so we need to finish. Are we we're going to do an interview? An interview. We need to do an interview because I know that's been organised. So we're just going to do that very quickly, Adrian. Very quickly. Just about one of our folks who is the church out there. So we'll do that quickly and then we'll wrap up. Over to you guys.
Right, now I'm sure you know these people. If you don't, this is Chris, this is Robin, and this is Alison. And they've been a part of our church for a long time. But maybe we don't know everything that we should know about the way they spend their time. So the question is, where do you spend the majority of your time during the week? You might have to do something. Okay. It's going to be different answers.
I'm a stay-at-home mum, so I spend most of my time cleaning and cooking and all those kind of things, entertaining Robin in the playground, doing the school run and playgroups.
I'm a highways inspector, so most of my week is spent around Kingston Town Centre. And if you're ever there, you'll just see me wandering around, probably looking pretty aimless, but I am doing something quite important.
So how does church help or hinder you being a good disciple or good disciples? That's a question.
Okay, from my point of view, the last few years haven't been great, and there's been stuff that's sort of taken me away from things. But in this last year... But in this last year, it's been great sort of getting back involved in the church. What's been really good is having our life group with Mark and Phil and John Porch comes along. And this has been really good to have people to talk to. We do talk about church things, but a lot of the time... current affairs. So, and it's just nice talking about things that challenge us, things that we're not sure on. So that's been, I've really appreciated that. Doug started his strummers, which I know you enjoy. And again, it's just really good just during the week to meet up with sort of good Christian people. Whereas before,
people you perhaps wouldn't speak to normally.
Exactly, and it's just otherwise Sunday to Sunday, you know, it's quite a long time. And before, when I was quite distant from things here, it's just nice to, you know, have those friendships and build up those friendships and support.
That's really good. Thank you.
Sunday for me is quite difficult because we have children who are very energetic and we might be out there entertaining them, we might be up doing Sunday school, or we might be having to take Robin out for a walk because she needs a sleep. So the main thing, church has been a constant in our lives for a long time and it's really important to us. Because of the people that support us in lots of different ways. And actually, during the week, I need to be disciplined. And when I get a moment, it's things like listening to UCB Radio or Alex told me about Joy Smyre quite a few years ago. And having that drip feed of God's word in the week is really important because it's hard to get it on a Sunday. But the friendships and are the important thing here for me.
Okay, so how does being a Christian disciple help you on or with your front lines?
Okay. Yeah, this is quite a tricky one because I'm the sort of person that will basically try and do things in my strength. When I look back on some things that I encounter, I can sort of think, oh, actually, God, you did help me there. Not that I came to you beforehand to ask for your help. I can see that you did help out. Some situations arise where I will say a quick prayer because I feel that's all I can do. So I'm just going to look at your question. I think in terms of how I relate with my colleagues, I think a little bit like you said earlier, it's not through being overtly Christian, it's just, you know, through chatting about what you get up to. I'll talk
attitudes
about... Yeah, exactly. You know, it has been commented on, surprisingly maybe, that I'm quite diligent at my job by the manager compared to some of the others, and, you know, there's an element of trust there. So, yeah, so from my point of view, it's just about just going about just being a normal person, really, and hoping, as you say, that people... perhaps see something just a little bit different to others,
sure,
maybe.
They do.
Yeah.
Yes. Alison, what do you say?
For me, I feel like my mission field is people who are on the edge of. So on this meeting parents outside of school and in the playground. At playgroups, it's sort of noticing those people who maybe are a bit on their own, and just making the time to talk to them. I've got one friend through playgroup who we meet up almost every week now, and she's very, very open to... She's actually would call herself a Buddhist, but she's very open to asking questions about what I believe. So for me, it's being open... I would say our lives are very chaotic and crazy and messy, and we make mistakes, but it's about being open and sharing, you know, how God has helped me through some really difficult times in my life, and how God has been a source of strength, and really that just being open and honest about where I'm at. The trials of parenting, sharing in those things with them, with her, and I just hope that she will continue to sort of I'll be able to share more and more about my faith with her.
Yeah, that's lovely, and perhaps that will be a ripple, won't it? You know, maybe in the future. Yes, you never know, do you? So, last question: what would you like prayer for? What would you like us to pray for you? Do you have a corporate prayer or request? Or
I think
this is all too tempting.
I always feel like there's areas that I can improve on and need help with. So for us as a couple and as a family, to be able to share God's love with each other and with our children, really that's the most important thing to me that I would like to pray for.
I'm happy with that as well.
Okay, so perhaps we'll just pray for Alison and Chris then before we all go. Okay, dear Lord, we thank you so much for this little family. We thank you for their dedication, for their faith, for their love for each other and for the church and for the wider community. We ask, Lord, that you give them fortitude in the difficult times and the trials of bringing up children, and in their everyday lives, that they have opportunities will present themselves more and more. And I think we have to say amen.
That's great. Thanks, Ali and Chris, and good juggling skills there, weren't they? Brilliant job. It's not easy being a parent, and I hope you're praying for the families in the church here with young kids as they need all the energy they can get as they support their families and their kids, and that we're a blessing to them and not a burden to them. Let's close, shall we? And I'm going to close with a prayer. We're not going to... Oh, there we go. I'm not going to sing. I'm definitely not going to sing. Yeah, bet you're relieved about that. But we're going to pray as we close, and then you can go off and celebrate Father's Day and enjoy each other's company. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that every Christian has a calling to be involved in the unfolding history of your love for this world and for each person in it. And Lord, as we pray, we want to imagine, as it says in this series that we've been doing, imagine a supportive learning community that helps us grow in wisdom, in humanity, and in generous love. We want to imagine communities that people want to come to. We want to imagine communities that enable people and resource people and set them free to be the people that you want them to be. What a difference that would make, Lord, if we were a community like that. Where will you take us, individually and together, if we are a people like that? You'll take us to some very exciting places. In fact, Lord, I suspect you'll take us to places where we already are. But it will start to look different as we begin to see it through your eyes. And as you begin to work in the places where we spend most of our time. Will you help us as a church as we have that conversation together and with you to be that sort of community? Would you help us in Jesus' name? Amen. Amen. Bless you, folks. There is prayer after the service. I know Terry and Heather are not here. Terry's got a trapped shoulder. And I think, yeah, Debbie's part of that. So if you want some prayer, come forward to the front there and Debbie will be praying for you. Thank you, folks.